The man repents of his sin truly. He repents of those sins that he will not sin again. It's not repentance today. It's a fabrication. It's just smoothing over and making them feel good. Well, that's all right. And they get up there and get a little few little tears and say, okay, you all right, sister. No, you're not all right. You're not. You're on your way to hell. You better get on your face before Yahweh. And that's the truth. You're awful quiet, but that's all right. The word is going to touch you today. We'll show you what's in you. That's all right. I'm going to show you what sin's in you. Turn quickly to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, let me show you this woman. Her fornication, what she does. Let me show you that spirit of fornication. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 25. It says, thou hast built thy high place under every head of the way. They built their monumental whorehouses, the places of worship, St. Peter's Basilicas, and their Catholic whorehouse, and their Baptist whorehouses, and their Lutheran whorehouses, and their Presbyterian whorehouses, and their apostolic whorehouses. That's what they built. He said, you built your high places on every head of every way. Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 25. Said, if you have made thy beauty to become abhorrent, you have made it to become hateful. Look what it says there in the next part. What it says, and thou hast done what? You have opened your feet to everyone that passed by. Now you must understand what that means. I know what that means. And that's what a whore does. She opens her feet. So you open up your legs to everyone that passed by. And multitude thy whoredom. You have increased your whoredom. Every man that passed by, you have opened up your feet to them. You open yourself unto them. You're such a filthy, vile thing. Listen today, my friends. There's nothing wrong. I don't care what whorehouse you belong to. They do not come against sin. They really don't. You can almost do anything. The young men go. They go dress with ear pops in their ear, their hair corn rolled. Women, that was a time in the Baptist and Methodist, they would never wear pants in there. They go with slack suits on, jeans on, shorts on, dressing like whores, ear bobs, showing off their tattoos, showing their servants of hell, they're bound to hell. That is not of Yahweh. They open their leg to every kind of spirit. They're sorcerers. They're sons and daughters of the adulteress and the whore. So that's what an adulterous sorcerer daughter does. She opens her leg to every kind of person there is. You find women that are natural. I'm talking about those that are not whores selling their wares. I'm talking about their women, their girls that was laid down with every boy, everyone that came her way. She will open her leg to them. That's a vile, unclean spirit. That's not a clean spirit. You're quiet. You ought to just think you're where you're delivered. That's all. Bless him, you're not bound. It doesn't make... You ought to just thank him for that. But they open their feet to everyone they pass by the way. That's all right, preacher. Preach it. I'm not concerned about your little dignified type of attitude because you don't have no dignified attitude. That's what Scripture says. They open their feet to every man. They open their feet to everyone they pass. That's what they do. They open their feet. Open their feet. Their feet are closed, but they open them up to everything. Every man. That's what Scripture says. You can think it's horrifying, but it's not. The Spirit is in you if you think it's that way. It's not. He's telling us the truth. And we must understand that. He said they open up their feet. They open up their feet to everyone that passed by. And they multiply or they increase their whoredoms. Not only is she a whore, but she increased her whoredoms. Every kind of religious doctrine today, well, we can receive that. Well, you just don't touch our little thing. You don't touch ours. There was one time even those that called themselves apostolic, they had a strict type of a law and discipline. And now they do everything that every whorehouse in town does. The women dress worse than those in other whorehouses. They had some kind of strength. Then they did have some decency. And now there's filth as every whorehouse it is. They got these little young, foolish men that call themselves leaders. And the only thing they're concerned about is grabbing or gaining some house full of whoredom. They just want people. They're not concerned about the soul. They want numbers. They say, look what I got. They're just as filth as anything else. At least they had some sense and some soundness in their doctrine. Although they now the sharp heart, they had some soundness, more so than most of them. And now they're full of whoredom, every kind of vile spirit. They open their legs, every kind of whorehouse now. Did they have what they call interdenomination type of fellowship? There's no such thing. And what they do to open up the houses, every kind of demonic power, they just open up their legs and say, come on in. You help us build us a nice place. We're going to have this group over this week, and we'll see if we can raise $500, $600 or $1,000. That's all they do. They're greedy. They're full of lasciviousness and concupiscence and lust. That's all they're full of today. They want to build their eminent places so they can say, look what we've done. Look at our big place. We got 500 people coming here. And yet they're in sin and wickedness. I'd rather have 10 that's going to do right than 10,000 doing wickedly. Give me 10. I can do more with 10 righteous men and women than folks can do with 500. I don't need 50. I don't need 100. I just want those that Yahweh adds to his body. He adds them. And those that he adds, they will be saved. They won't reject his truth. They may not have heard it, but they won't reject it. I get letters from folks, they haven't heard this type preaching, but yet they don't reject it. They may not understand, but they don't reject it. Only a fool reject it. They don't reject it. Men write me, sisters, come out of different type, Pentecostals type organizations, and yet they don't reject the truth. They may not understand it, but they don't reject it. They don't begin to speak against it. Only a fool will speak against something you don't understand. That's just like you're trying to explain quantum theory to someone. If you don't even know what quantum is, how can you explain theory then? When someone began to explain the quantum theory to you, and you want to show them how ignorant, how arrogant you are, you're trying to tell them what it is. Because they said something about the quantum that you understand a few words about that. That's why Yahweh didn't leave this in the hand of this whore. Before Messiah sent it up back with the Father, he gave gifts on the men. And they didn't come by mama's way or papa's way or grandpappa's way. They didn't come by what you think is right or what you like in a man. They came by what he put in a man that he may stand and proclaim his truth. So it has nothing to do with you or what you believe is right. They didn't believe that Messiah was right. And you don't believe that. That's why we walk in sin and rebellion and witchcraft. It's a rebellious, wicked generation. Because of the whoredoms of his loins. The Lord is filled with whoredom. No one got a mind set to serve him and to wait diligently upon him. Nobody wants to do that. Everybody is seeking his own. Everyone is seeking after their own ways and not the way of Yahweh. My house. You wicked thing, there's only one house. That's the house of Yahweh. There aren't many houses. And if any man seek the comfort of his house, he's not in the Father's house. For the work has already been done. Hallelujah. That's what this whore does. She looks after her needs. No, whore, she gets angry when someone else gets her John. She gets violently angry. She wants to fight. You stay away from him like he's your husband. You fool. That's the way this mentality is today. And they don't want men like me to speak like this. They'd rather pay some serpentine dog $100,000 or $50,000 a year to feed them lies. Feed them things that are convenient for their flesh. They'd rather pay a cable television $50 a month to feed their minds with filth and folly and sin. They pay internet $75. The surfing that to look up every kind of trash, every kind of vile thing there is, and fill their souls with this empty trash. They don't want to hear no preaching. That's all right. You're always standing by my side today. You don't have to stand with me. He's standing by me. I'm his servant. And he knows that what I'm saying is from his bosom. We need to be warned today. This Jezebel is going to take many into hell. She is. That's why this world is going to be so angry with her. They're going to burn her. They're going to come against her with vengeance. That's what they're going to do. Today you just say you believe in God. Well, what God do they believe in? Think about that, saints. I don't care what the homosexuals say. They know God. The bulldoggers that say they know God. They ordained that reverend, that dog. He's not a man of reverence. He's a pervert. That Eugene Robinson up there in the Lutheran doghouse. And he says he knows God. What God do they know? Do they know Allah Akbar? Do they know the God of Buddha? They don't know Yahweh. Messiah says they be conveyed his name to the house of Yisrael. I am Yahweh, and that's enough. And Psalm 68 and 4 tells you His name, Yahweh. He's Yahweh. This lying generation wants to reject that. They can hold on to their pagan names. Crusoe, Christ, they are pagan. Jesus is pagan. I don't take it back. He has a name. He was born of a Hebrew woman. He was not born of some Greek. His name has not changed. It's the same. They go into their whole houses. That's what they love. Ezekiel 16:25. And has opened thy feet. You that are adults, you understand that quite well. She has opened her feet to everyone that passed by. Isn't that amazing that Yahweh, He comes straight to the point? And we want to be so sacrilege, so righteous, self-righteous. Well, I don't want to think that. No, He means what He says. She opened her feet and she had multitude her whoredoms. Not just being a whore, but she has whoredoms. He said, thou hast also committed fornication. You have committed illicit type of worship and false type of entertainment to the Egyptians. And this world loves Egypt, don't they? They commit fornication with Egypt. They love those that are in Egypt, God, because they want the meat and the garlic of Egypt. That's what Israel said. We had meat in Egypt. And what they say today, at least we had our lust fulfilled in Egypt. We could do what we wanted to do. We could go, we could say, we could do, we could buy. But you understand that this whole house is going to crumble? It's going to crumble. Let it crumble, Father. That's my prayer. You're going to suffer. Thank you, Yahweh. If I suffer with Messiah, I'm going to reign with Him. That's good. What are you going to do if you don't have money? We're just going to live by faith. We're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. That's all. No electricity. Thank you, Yahweh, for that. Hallelujah. Make you conserve time. You do things right. You won't waste so much time. It's so much time to give it unto folly. You know, the old saints didn't do that. Time when he got dark, old daddy went to bed. When daylight came, he got up. They didn't waste time. They didn't waste energy. He sat down with old fellows in the field. They talk things constructive. Today you talk things full of folly, sin and wickedness. You got electricity. You can step into the wee hours in the morning talking foolishness. He said, you also committed fornication with thy neighbor, with the Egyptians, thy neighbors. He said, greater flesh now has thy increased thy whoredom. Is not that what the world does today? Give them great comfort to flesh. He said, greater flesh now. Great of flesh. Great of flesh. Isn't that what he says? Give them much opportunity with their flesh. Thou hast increased their whoredom. When you have time for your flesh, you're going to increase your whoredom, my brothers and sisters. And that's all the world does. Everything is about whoredom now. They're not committed to no one. Something is wrong, saints. Something is wrong. I want to be faithful and committed to Yahweh above all things. If I can be faithful and committed to Him, I can be faithful and committed to you. I can. I don't have to be false. I can be committed. Above all things, I want to be faithful and committed to Him. And if I will not commit adultery on Him, I won't commit fornication with you. I won't commit some kind of spiritual wickedness to destroy your heart from loving Yahweh. He said they commit increase their whoredoms to provoke me to anger. And that's what this nation has done. He said, thou hast played the what? Come on, say that, verse 28. Thou hast played the what? Everyone said, thou hast played what? The whore. He said, you have played the whore. Also with the Assyrians. My. You don't care who you commit whoredom with. These idolatrous worshippers, you've played the whore. You hear that? Now, isn't it something that if you think that Yahweh doesn't mean to express what He's trying to get over to us? He said, you have played the whore. You have been a whore with the Assyrians. Because thou was unsatisfied. You could not be satisfied. Nothing satisfied you. He said, yea, thou hast played the harlot. Now, do you understand what a harlot is? It was one that was associated with that cult prostitution. They're associated with their cults. They call us a cult, and yet they are a cult. The Methodist cult. The Lutheran cult, where they ordained a faggot. You tell me that's not a cult? No faggot. Anything, a demon's going to be cast out of the dog. No man is going to be prostituting his body with a daughter. The dog is going to die. Yet they call us a cult. And yet they go to these occultic whorehouses where they got to debate whether they were dead or punk. I use that expression. The little ones use words worse than that. Just like Mr. Cosby said, your filthy, dirty laundry, your filthy young'uns. Of course, all the Negroes got mad at him. You were right, Mr. Cosby. Tell these wicked folks. Tell them. They're filthy young'uns. Crazy. Foolish. They're ignorant. Tell them. I applaud you. They won't listen to a man of Yahweh. Tell them. It's coming from a natural corner man that's not even saved. His God is his billion. He can talk like that and they'll listen. Why? Because he's a wealthy man. Sure he will. They don't want to hear that. Get quiet, don't you? That's all right. He said, if you have played the harlot with them and you cannot even be satisfied. You've performed all their religious rituals and their occult prostitution. You've gone every way to satisfy them. I will not be a cult prostitute. I will not be a harlot. I will not try to please the Baptists, the Southern Baptists, and all of them. I will please your way. I'm not going to do anything to get fellowship from someone because I preach something different or because I preach the truth, because I use the Father's name. I ask anyone that will hear this broadcast, tell me the Father's name then. I ask you the city, what is his name? If Yahshua said, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is the hallowed name? Tell me the hallowed name. There's a name that is hallowed. He said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another come in his own name, you will receive him. Not his authority, he come in his name. I love that name. I'm glad that he has put that in my spirit. It didn't come by revelation and reading, it just come by the revelation of who he is. He's going to make himself plain unto his people in this hour, only to his people. It says in verse 29 of the same chapter, he says, thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto the Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied therewith. He said, how weak is thine heart, saith Yahweh, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. An imperious, an arrogant, Jezebel, know you a whore, and you arrogant. That's what imperious whore is. What expression he used here. A filthy whore, what he said. A whorish woman. There's nothing like a whorish woman. Nothing. Nothing comes to the strength of a whorish woman. She's full of diseases. She's full of uncleanliness. She's full of every kind of vile thing. That's why Satan wants every woman to be whorish. That's why at birth he started them out in whoredom. Parents teach them how to shake their little butts and do their little things. Come on, baby, show them how to do it. Come on. Get quiet. Good. Teach them how to be whores from birth. Don't teach them how to clap their hands and lift your hands and say, bless your father, thank you, father. They don't teach them that. Sing that song for mama. I found love on a two-way street. They teach them trash. They open their hearts to whoredom. They teach them to be selfish and to be greedy and to be covetous. Well, that's for him. No, you don't mess with that. Some little child trying to play with a little toy. She bought them out. No, you leave that alone. That's for Billy. They pour the filthy spirit into them at birth. That's what a whore is. She's selfish. She don't want nobody. That's my money. I don't want you messing with that. And that's what this Catholic whore is. That's why these religious Protestant whorehouses, they don't want nobody touching their members. Because it cuts down on the dollars. They're looking for money, honey. They're looking for money, honey. They ain't worried about these wicked folks' soul. These preachers are not going to preach anything if they can't drive their lectures. They don't drive Cadillacs now. They want their BMWs and their Mercedes-Benz. They're going to drive their $40,000, $50,000 cars and make you lust for that too. And that's what an imperious whore does, a whorish woman. She's arrogant. I know I'm a whore, and what can you do? You can't stop me from being a whore. I'm a whore. And that's what this whorehouse is doing. That's what it's doing. I'm self-righteous, and I don't care what you say. Who are you to judge? They like to tell you that. I know a dog and a swine. I know that. I won't give that which is holy unto a dog. You think Messiah didn't mean what he says? He said, don't give that which is holy unto the dog, and neither cast your pearl before swine. You think that he told a lie, don't you? He lied, didn't he? Did he lie? He didn't lie. So in order for me to know who a dog is, I must have discernment to know who a dog is. And I ought to know who a swine is. I get that which is holy to a swine. They warned to me. I have defied the law of Yahweh. Anybody that transgresses law and breaks his law, he's going to deal with that man. You sow into the flesh. And you sow more like that to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Your mind become corrupt. There's no love for Yahweh. There's no love for his truth. Well, Pastor Robertson, he's becoming a little too ritual in the things he preaches. I'm telling you what he says. Almighty Yahweh is an austere man. He's a hard king. He is not some of the passive thing you think he is. He reaps where he don't even sow, he reaps. And you think you're going to get by when he sowed into your seed of truth. And you defy that and you want the seed of adulterous and a holy spirit sown in you. That you become a sorcerer, that you become rebellious. You think you're going into the kingdom. You're not going into the kingdom, my friend. That is the truth. Thank you, brother. He said, how weak is your heart? The heart of a whore is weak. Folks that walk in that whoredom spirit, they're very weak. I don't care who it is. Their hearts are weak. And they walk away from the laws of Yahweh, they're weak. That's our strength. That we're governed by the righteous laws of Yahweh. He said, how weak is your heart? Your heart is very weak. That's why we that are weak ought to say, I'm strong. Cleanse yourself from the spirit of whoredom and every filthy thing. I tell you, saints, it's going to take this kind of preaching for us to get on in to the next realm. You're not getting in any other way. You're not going to press beyond where you are unless your sins and your corruptions are identified. If they're not identified, you will never press beyond that. You will never. Never at all. I want to show you a fornicator. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. This is the spirit of a fornicator. You all know the scripture. I'm going to read it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. This is what one that commits, or one that is a fornicator, they commit fornication. Do not that? That's a noun, fornicator. It tells you the person, place, or thing. So one that commits fornication is a fornicator, right? All right, let me show what a fornicator is. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. He always says, lest there be any fornicator. Hebrews 12, 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane, wicked, vile person as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. See, they sell their birthright for a morsel of meat. The fornicators will sell their birthright for a morsel of meat. They'll sell it for a son or daughter, mama, daddy, grandmama. They will sell their birthright for a morsel of meat. That's the truth. He said, at least you be a fornicator, a profane person. And it gives us an example who it is. And so we want to know if there's any fornicating spirit in us or we're profane, let us go look at Esau. Let us find out what Esau did. A man that had the birthright. And he sold it to satisfy his flesh. Do you sell the riches of Yahweh's treasure to satisfy your flesh? That's a fornicator. That's a profane thing. Are you selling that for something that gives you some kind of comfort in your flesh? That's a fornicator. That's a profane thing. And he sold his birthright. I have a birthright. I have an inheritance in the kingdom. And I won't sell it for a piece of bread. I won't sell it for no one. I didn't sell it for mama, daddy. I won't sell it for brother, sister, son or daughter, kinsman or relative. I won't sell it. When they deny the power of my Yahweh, when they reject his truth and his laws, they reject me. When they reject the sanctity and the purity of him, they reject me. For that is my father. And I'm of the same seed as my father. My birth is of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. It's not a sensual birth. I've been begotten from above. And I won't sell that for no one. Not anyone. So that's a perfect example of a fornicator. Esau, profane, filthy, wicked. Just for one satisfying moment, sold his birthright. And just for a moment of fleshly gratification, you sell your birthright. Saints, I warn all of you. You should not be digging in the dens of hell. You should be frolicking in the dens of hell about fleshly things. Our conversation needs to be spiritual, truthful, and righteous. It should be frolicking this time. I said to the brothers, you look at those women on the magazine on that Sudan. You see no foolishness. Everything has a very serious countenance. There's no play, there's no folly, and we in this fat, wicked nation, that's all we do. That one of the most profound sins will take place on Sunday. They will gather their whore dens, they will gather, they will let out the whorehouses early so they can cook and feed their flesh with their pomp and their circumstance. That's wickedness. Every one of these pagan whore days are wicked. They exalt the Holy Spirit of America. It does nothing but feed flesh. Every last one of them, mama day, daddy day, it feeds flesh. That's all it does. The 4th of July, the Christmas, the pagan Thanksgiving, all of it. That's all it does. And yet they frown at the feast days of Yahweh. They frown, they get upset. And so when you're not stable and sure, when the Holy Spirit come, and everyone you entertain, you just open your feet to them. And then they pour their seed into you. That you begin to bring forth crazy, foolish ideas that are not according to script and truth. That's why you think crazy and you act foolish and you act nutty. Because you open your feet unto everything that you pass, everything passed by you, you open your feet to it. And that should not be. It's all right. Still the truth. I'm preaching the truth. Scripture says in Jude, Yehuda, Jude chapter 1 verse 7. This is what it says. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner. Now this is what they did. Giving themselves this. It did not say all. It said Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them. Giving themselves to fornication, and they go on after strange flesh. But that's what that spirit does. It goes after strange flesh. And I set forth an example, and I've shown you an example when you go after strange flesh. Well, what is strange flesh? That denies the power of Yahweh. That's strange flesh. That denies the infallibility of the truth of Yahweh. That's strange flesh. We don't believe truth. Good conviction. He said they're giving for us an example. For what reason? Suffering the vengeance of what? Of what? Eternal hell. And he said, I give you a vivid example to show you. You go up the strange flesh, you want to suffer the fire of an eternal hell. And that's your example. They were fornicators. They were of the strange flesh, strange doctrine. They wanted something to make them feel good. That's why, isn't that the world today? They got to always do something to make you feel good. That's why one dance never lasts for so long. That's why one song, sometimes they're on the chart for 3 or 4 weeks and you don't hear nothing of them. It's a crazy world. It's one thing about the truth of Yahweh, it endures forever. It never changed. And we're satisfied with that. When you go out the strange flesh, you'll never be satisfied. You can buy every young man in here 20 pair of slacks. After a while, they're not satisfied with the 20 pair. You buy them 20 pair of brand new shoes. They wear them one time and sometimes not even wear them. And they still, after a while, it brings no satisfaction. You give them a fleet of 50 cars and they still are not satisfied. They see someone else with a car of a different color. They want that. We're satisfied with him and him alone. That should be our fullness, is your why. Messiah is that hope to assure us that that alone, the truth of the Father, satisfies us. That should be our satisfaction. And so you always say, I'll give you an example of what Sodom and Gomorrah, they were fornicators. They went after fornication. They gave themselves over to fornication. That's what they did, uncleanliness. They were not faithful to anyone. They had no sense of faithfulness. I watch people today, they're not faithful to men of Yahweh. They would tell them they love them. They're not faithful. They're full of lies. At least try, then they turn and they run. They turn their hearts to the flesh and all kinds of things. I've experienced that in 25 years of preaching. I know the heart of this wicked generation. That's why we're in this hour whereby you can't even trust in brother or sister, no one. You must trust in the Spirit of the truth of Yahweh. When a man has the Spirit of Yahweh, you can trust that. Most of them don't have that today. They were turned against Yahweh for some wicked, degenerate, vile thing, son or daughter, anything. They were denied power to justify them. Can I tell you? They're still going to hell. Still going to hell. They're dying their sins. Because they rejected the truth of Yahweh. And you're going too. For you rejected truth. He said for him. I'm set for a defense of him. For his truth. I'm not defending no one. I don't defend myself. Don't need to. I defend him and what scripture says. Revelation chapter 2. He's writing here to the assembly of Pergamos. Look what he says in chapter 2 verse 14. He said, but I have a few things against thee. There's only one body, however, there are not a few things against. And that's the body of Messiah. Because the Father, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I got some satisfaction in. He said, in whom I am well pleased. He said, I'm well pleased in him. Only in that body is the Father well pleased. And we must be in the body of Messiah for the Father to be well pleased with us. Not in some whore, some religious whorehouse. He says to the saints of Pergamos, but I have a few things against thee. Because thou have them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, to hold the doctrine of their Lord and their deity. That's what Balaam is, Baal. That's what the word Lord means, Baal. He is not Lord, he is not Baal. And they hold fast to that doctrine of Baal. Well, I just believe he's Lord, you're a fool. He is not Baal. You don't call him Baal, you don't call him Lord. Something wrong with you folks, you get around the wicked, you get around kinsmen, and you don't identify who the Father is. Something wrong. I won't deny him. You deny him. You ashamed of him. He's going to deny you. You all better hear this, preacher, for your own sake. He said, who taught Balak as a cat, to taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. To eat things offered unto idols and to commit fornication. That's what they're doing. Well, preacher, we don't offer none to idols. They have their Christmas gatherings. They're going to set up on Sunday with their 4th of July grill outs. They have their Valentine's Day dinners. Their birthday celebrations. It's not of Yahweh. It's wrong. I don't care what preacher says. Nowhere in Scripture where he told us even consider the birthday of Messiah. It tells us to consider his death, burial, and his resurrection. Nothing else means anything. The power was in the death. He surely went to the grave, and he got up. The birth had no significance if he didn't go to the grave and he didn't get up. The birth had nothing. It means nothing, brother. Nothing. Nothing. But that is what we ought to be reminded of. His death, his burial, and the resurrection. And so when you celebrate any of these pagan holy days, as they call them, it is a sacrifice unto an idol, unto a spirit. I don't care how you participate in them, it is a sacrifice there. That's why around the holidays I hate to go out and buy anything, because I know they think that everyone is associated with that. And any time you participate in any of them, I don't care who it is, they set up their grills, they set up their lust to feel their flesh, their drunkenness. That's all that's going to take place on tomorrow. Their drunkenness, their frivolity, their banqueting, they're eating like dogs and pigs. And it's not of Yahweh. And they won't go down at the table of Yahweh and eat. They despise. His table is contemptible unto them. They get that, they puke up, they throw up on the table of Yahweh. And there's nothing but the detestable and vile things on his table. These lying dogs, they feed their flesh. Bringing it out, isn't it? That's all right. That's what it takes, a good old good salve to pull the poison out of the old wound you got. Granny was good at that. And take old piece of salted pork or something like that and some salt. You put it on that old thing. Didn't have to lacerate it or anything. Just put it on it, but it drew the poison out. Sure did. They had those old remedies that they worked. There ain't but one remedy. We need to go back to the ancient way. We got to go back to the old time way. We've gotten away from the Father. We got this modernism, the secularism, and the, what we call the house today. And so I do what I want to, honey. I wear my dress where I want to. I do what I want to. I want everybody to see my poo-poo, and I want to look at him. That's wicked. It's not of Yahweh. Then for your daughters to cover yourself, and your men too. Cover yourselves. Keep yourselves clean. He said they commit fornication. Look what he says in the 15th verse. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I do hate. So their doctrine that he hate. He hate this, the Baptist doctrine, the Pentecostal, the apostle. He hate every doctrine, but the doctrine of Messiah. That's the only doctrine of truth. There ain't but one doctrine. That he came in the Father's name to bring us into the presence of the Father. Well, who did he come to bring us close to the Father? That's what Messiah came to do. He came to bring us to the presence of the Father. He hates these doctrines today. They're doctrines of lies. They're doctrine of deceit, brother. That's all they are. They're doctrine of deceit. They're not doctrines of truth. They're doctrines of lies. He hates those doctrines. He hates their Lord-worshipping doctrines. That they actually worship their these whorehouses. They esteem the man more higher than they esteem Yahweh. They look upon him. He can't say anything. Everything he says is right. No, if it's not according to the scripture, what he says is wrong. What he says is wrong. Well, what are you preaching from? I'm preaching from scripture. That's why I read scripture. It's wrong. It's got to be based upon the law. He just can't take something out of the New Testament, out of the Torah that he likes. When it comes to blessings, when it comes to the retribution of sin, he don't want to deal with that. You got to deal with every aspect. And I deal with the heart, soul, the mind, and the spirit of man. That's what I deal with. Because why? You better get that right. You better get a heart that loves Yahweh with everything you got. You better cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You got 50 things in your spirit. And you're self-righteous. He said, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And then you begin to perfect holiness in the sight of Almighty Yahweh. You can't do it unless you begin to cleanse yourself. You can't do it unless you begin to cleanse yourself. That's why this Christ they call holiness today is a flat-out lie. It's not holiness. I don't care if a woman got it dressed down to the floor and a bonnet on her head and it covered down to her, and yet her heart is filthy. She's lusting. She's full of sin. She's filthy. So she's filthy as a bonnet dressing harlot. That's all she is. She just got a long dress on. She's just a harlot and a spirit. That's all it is. A woman can have her dress up to here. When she hear the word of Yahweh, that's a shame for her. She says, oh, this expressed what's in my heart. She'll repent. I'd rather deal with a woman like that than a sanctimonious, self-righteous Jezebel. I'd rather deal with the flat-out Jezebel. Because she will begin to feel some shame. She will. I recall many years ago, my wife's sister, she came to visit our house. And she had on this very tight-fitting dress, very shapely woman. And I said, first of all, I will tell you something, little whore. I call her that, too. I said, don't you ever come into my house like that. When I began to preach to her, she was so ashamed, she couldn't hide herself. She couldn't hide herself right. She just began to weep. And she never again came to my house like that again. As a matter of fact, she didn't come back. I said, you sell yourself like that, like a little whore? I said, no man respect you for that. He knows exactly what you are. He thinks you're a bow wow. That's how men think in their convoluted, perverted mind. They think that way. He thinks you're a bow wow. I'd rather deal with a whore like that, dressed like a whore, than one that's all self-righteous, and yet they're full of whoredom. At least that was a conviction. At least she didn't come back my way no more. She didn't do it. It says in the third verse, Revelation 17:3. We'll move through this quickly. And she carried me away in the spirit, and he carried me away in the spirit now into the wilderness. And I saw the woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast. Now, that has significance there. Now, why is she sitting upon that beast or that spirit? Because she thinks that she is the one that cleanses sin. She thinks she has purity. Now, let me show you something. It says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8. It says she sits on a scarlet colored beast. Is that what it says? Now, when I see stuff like that, I become very inquisitive. I don't know about you, but I know what scripture says. And Yahweh brings scriptures to my heart when I see things like this. Now, this is what scripture says. This is what it says in Isaiah. I want you to go back to Revelation 17 now. But this is what it says in Isaiah, y'all, chapter 1, verse 8. Now, she sits upon a scarlet now, colored beast, a crimson colored beast. Look what it says. Yahweh says in Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 8. He said, come now and let us reason, or let me speak to you together. He says, come let us reason together. Saith Yahweh. He said, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. Though your sins be as scarlet. She's a Jezebel. She's a filthy thing. She wants to impersonate that which is righteous. And yet Yahweh said, your sins are scarlet. She rides upon sin. Idolatry. May your sins be as scarlet. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 8. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So she rides on the strength of the wickedness of men. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 8. Is it there? 18. Yeah, 18. You all should know that. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. It says this. Come now and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. He's talking to Israel, isn't he? He said, though your sins be as what? And she's riding on a what? What color beast? Scarlet? You think that's insignificant? You think that Yahweh just put that there? That's the beast spirit that destroys the hearts of men. The sins. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Now, you will see in her on the grab whereby she tried to pretend she's virtue. He said, though it be as scarlet, it'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. So she ride upon this pretense that she is the redeemer of the hope, and yet she rides upon a beast of sin. That's her strength. Sin. That's her strength, brothers and sisters. Sin, everything she does is wicked. Everything she imparts into a man is wickedness. She imparts witchcraft, rebelliousness, idolatry. When you disobey Yahweh, you're walking in the spirit of witchcraft. You're walking in idolatry. When you hear the truth, you know it's the truth. You don't obey it, then it's idolatry. A man that knows to do it right and do it or not, it is a transgression. It is idolatry. And that's what you're doing. We want to think that we're going to do things our way and go into the kingdom. I'm here to warn you, you're not going to do it your way. If that's the case, then the death of Messiah means nothing. You don't even need that. It serves no purpose at all. You can be all religious all you want to. You can talk scripture all you want to, unless you live scripture and obey scripture. You have nothing at all. For Satan knew scripture when Messiah said unto him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yahweh. He said, cast yourself down, for you know what scripture says, that he shall give his malach charge over thee, least at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone, that they shall bear you. He knows the scriptures. He quoted the scriptures. There's no power unless there's fruit in our lives. No one serve. And there must be fruit. That's a sign. And that's a strength. That we have the spirit, that there's fruit. What is that? That we obey him. Will you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, all your strength? You obey him. When you don't love him, you won't obey him. And we're not a people that truly obey him. You better say that, help me, Father. You can be all self-righteous all you want to. Ride on a scarlet colored beast, and the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, the kingdoms, the powers of darkness, seven spirits of darkness, kingdoms and powers, the strength of this whore, that's her strength, demonic power, and having seven heads and ten horns, that's Revelation 17:3. Now, I want to emphasize that that scarlet color, the scarlet color. It says in Leviticus, I want to show you something. I want to show you what judgment is going to come upon this whore. I want to show you something here. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 15. It says she has names of blasphemy. Is that what it says? Blasphemy? Well, what name do you blaspheme? What is the name that you blaspheme? He said that we can give forgiveness for blaspheming the Father, the Son, and yet not the Spirit. We cannot. Well, what name is man blaspheming today? Look what scripture says in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 15. It says, and thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curses his father, that's what it says. It says God in the King James. But whosoever curses his father shall bear his sins. The man that curses Yahweh, he's going to bear his sins. The scripture tells us, whosoever curses father or mother shall die. Verse 16, and he that blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, it says the name of God, doesn't it? The name of the Lord. Well, what is the name of the Lord? What is his name that you're going to blaspheme? What is the name of the Lord that you're going to blaspheme? Tell me! There is a name that this whore is blaspheming. She despises the name of Yahweh and all of her whore's daughters. They continue in that same vein. Well, his name is Lord and Jesus lies. His name is Yahweh. The Son came in the Father's name. Yahshua, the Lamb. This is what it says now. And he that blasphemeth the name, the shame, or the name of Yahweh, he shall what? Surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him. As well as the strangers, and as well as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of Yahweh, shall be put to death. Now, that's a strength. That's why death is going to come upon this Jezebel. That's why this religious whore today, that's why it's nothing but death in it. Because she's blasphemed the name of the Father. He has a name, saints. And you can't. Anytime a man take the name of Yahweh in vain, even as it expressed in the King James, and we take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, what is his name? He said, I will not hold you guiltless. There is a name that you must take in vain. I know what these whorehouse religions have taught us, and we all have been gullible unto that. But he has a name. In Psalm 6:84, he tells you that. He says, Yahweh. He has a name. He has a name. It's not Jesus. That's a pagan name from the word Jesus. It is not Messiah's name. How could he, being born from a Hebrew clan, be called a Greek name? That can't be. He has a Hebrew name. And Yahweh did not come to the Gentiles. He came to the Hebrews. And he spoke to them in a tongue and a language. He did not call himself Lord or God. He called himself Yahweh. And that is his name. And religion has blasphemed that. And that's what this whore is doing. She's going to blaspheme his name. And you always say, when a man blasphemes the name, he's going to die. If you don't know his name, I will ask someone to help me. Some preacher, what is his name? They all going to tell you, well, his name is Lord or God. That's not a name. It's not a title. That's just a title. No more than the Baptists say you baptize them in the name. Well, what name is the Father? It's not Jesus. His name is not Jesus. His name is Yahweh. Jesus is a name that derived from Jesus, which is a Latin name. That's what Jesus is. Came out of Isos and Asus, from Eclipius, which is the God of healing. That's why it is the same, the God of healing, the hospital, the doctor, they all use the staff and the serpents wrapped around it. And the reason they use that, because Eclipius, the God of healing, the God of healing, there was a snake that came under Eclipius, and the snake had a wounded head. And what he did, what this God was supposed to do, put healing herbs on the snake's head. And then all of a sudden there was another snake came, because the snake went away, it brought back another snake, and the snake was healed. And it wrapped itself around the staff of Eclipius. You can find all this in Greek mythology. And that's where these idioms and these titles of these gods come from Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology. That's where it came from. No, the Septuagint is the translation of the Hebrew into Greek. The New Testament or the New Covenant was not written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. Those men cannot speak Greek. They were uneducated men. Greek was the language of the bourgeois. Those with power and money. Everybody didn't speak Greek. That's the truth. And we such an ignorant people that even history would bear me witness on that. We such a dumb generation. Now, Yahweh's not going to prove nothing to you. He's not going to come and speak to you either. They come by hearing. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the word of Yahweh. I'm not preaching the truth. I'm not. And that is the truth. You're not going to displace him with some pagan identity and say you love him. That's why we practice all kind of paganism. We practice our Christmas, our pagan worships. We've done all kind of pagan things. Some of them, well, why we say, because Yahweh before the foundation of the earth, he just chose you. Not because your mama's praying. I wasn't saying that way. My mother was a Jezebel. I don't say that in dishonor to her. My mother had six children by six different men. She slept with men in our house. They went in and out like a revolving door. Don't tell me that prayer saved me. Why didn't save her? I was chosen and called by Yahweh. That's all. Yeah, I can say that with all honesty. I'm not ashamed of my mother. I'll be telling the truth. She was a Jezebel. Three husbands, six children by six different men. And I watched the men sleeping out of our house. And most of the children never met their daddies. Something is wrong. You can say what you want to. You call it what you want to. Something is drastically wrong. Something is wrong. I'm not dysfunctional. I know my father. Hallelujah. Why? I know him. I'm not ashamed of that. Not at all. Nothing. I don't say that to make her look less than what she was. She's dead. She's going to stand before the judgment seat of Yahweh. There's nothing I can say to improve her status with him. And then I can say that will discourage his judgment against her. Nothing. But truth is the truth. And we don't like to deal with the truth and reality of things. That's what she was. She slept with other men's wives. She slept with other wives' husbands. She took other wives' husbands away from them. That wasn't righteous. As a young boy said, God, if you ever give me a wife and children, they will never come up like this. I wasn't saved. So it certainly wasn't her prayer. It was just that Yahweh had his hands on me as a young boy. As a young boy, I was called. I was elected of him. And he said, through the process of time, I will bring you to the knowledge of who I am, son. And I will show, I will reveal that to you. So it had nothing to do with her prayer. Your prayer ain't saying nobody. You can't show me no one where Peter prayed to save anyone. Yeah, sure hope for all Israel that they will be saved. Well, Yahweh is still going to save all Israel. He got a remnant out of there. He's going to say, all that is Israel, true Israel, all that is true, he's going to save them. And that is not, he's not going to save them. He's not going to save your wicked son or your daughter in Horem. Nobody's going to save the one over there in Horem. Let me tell you to love your neighbor as yourself, and to love one another as you love yourself, husband love your wife. Then why you love your youngest more, you love my youngest. That ain't love what you got. It's a flat out lie. It's just false. You don't even know what love is. We don't know what love is. We're such full of hypocrisy that we don't want to identify with how corrupt our hearts are. And do what Yahweh said. We do what we think is right. He didn't tell you to love your mother no more. He loved you to love no one else's mother. He said, sons, he said, children, honor thy father. He said, honor thy father and thy mother, and thy day shall be long upon the land Yahweh thy father giveth thee. And then he also, he says, first to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And then he says, for husband, for you to love your wife as you to love thyself. So if I love my wife like I love myself, then I got to love my sister like I love myself. And myself is that there, so I got to love her just like I love her. Sure must. That's the truth. We've gotten this Baptist love, the Methodist, the Pentecostal. We've got this white love, the black love. We got family love. It ain't the love of Yahweh. It's trash. It's trash. It says, for he so loved the world, he loved his creation, that he gave his son to say, those that are chosen and called, I will show you how much I love you. We want someone to speak lies to us. That's all we want today. We don't want no one to tell us the truth. We don't want men to tell us the truth. We want to continue in our corrupt, wicked ways. We don't want the truth today. The generation doesn't want the truth. That's why it doesn't excite their heart. They're more excited over a basketball game. They get more enthused about something foolish. Piece of bread, piece of cake. You will watch the folks tomorrow, they will act like pure jackasses. And though they call themselves Christians, quote, unquote, they will get out of their whole house and they can't wait to get home to grill out. Throw off their clothes, put on their shorts, and get half naked. That's not Yahweh. It's a pagan ritual. It feeds nothing but the flesh. Nothing but the flesh. And if someone really stood up and said, we're going to bless this food, they all get all antsy and all funny. And don't let them pray sincerely. Then they can't eat nothing now. Don't let nobody come in and talk about the strength and the power of Yahweh. He blessed you to come and eat today. I know God. They know their God. They're right. The God of their bellies. They don't know the Father. And we perpetuate the lie right along with them because we strengthen the hand. When you strengthen the hand of the wicked, something wrong with you. When you can fellowship and all gleeful and joyful with the wicked, and when you can express that with the saints of Yahweh, something's wrong with you. You go around the wicked, you can smile and be all joyful. You can smile and be gleeful with the saints. You are a wicked child of hell. I don't care who you are. You can't tolerate brothers and sisters. You can tolerate the wicked, your wicked kinsmen. You can laugh with them. What about this? I don't want to hear about what my wicked folks are doing. I don't care what them dogs are doing. They're going to hell. I don't care. I don't want to hear about their circumstances. Don't even tell me. When they die, let them die. When I die, don't worry about me. When they will, you know, that's the thing that my old wicked sister said came here. We first came here dressed like a Jezebel. She knows my standards. I said, don't you ever come around me dressed like that woman. Because she began to run off with her whore's mouth. That's what whores do. They run off their mouth. Well, I'm your sister. I said, no, you're not whore. You going to need somebody when you die. I said, when I die, don't worry about it. I don't need you. Get off of these grounds, you Jezebel. Get away. She's never been back since. Do I repent of that? I won't bet. Don't let no Jezebel like that have disdain for my father. I won't do that. I won't do that. I don't care what you all think, what you all doing. I won't compromise it. I said, you Jezebel, don't come back again. And she hasn't. Am I glad about that? Well, sure I am. I don't want to hear about their doings. Oh, of course, they will all tell you they're doing good. They're on their way to hell. No, there's not any good but the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in the fourth verse, I want to close at the fourth verse. I want to read some scriptures here. It says that the woman was arrayed in what? And scarlet. Now, why does Yahweh put those colors there? She was arrayed in purple. You think that those are not significant? What scripture says about that? It says she was arrayed in purple and scarlet. Is that what it says? Now, I want to read something in Proverbs 31:22. It talks about that. All you sisters know about this. It's talking about the virtuous woman, isn't it? The woman that's pure. So she arrayed herself like she's pure. And she can cleanse sins. That's what this Catholic whore, that's how she dressed herself. But this is what it says in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 22. Talking about the virtuous woman, isn't it? She's pure. It says she's making herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and what? Only the virtuous one. So she wants to pretend she's virtuous and pure and clean. And she's a whore. She's got on a pure garment, but she's a whore. She's a Jezebel. So they try to dress their exterior as though that they are right and pure, but they're whores. That's what she dressed in, purple and scarlet. Well, my sins are forgiven. Her sins are not forgiven. Her sins are with her. She's not cleansed from her wickedness. She opened her feet to every man that passed by for sin. So she tried to dress in a way that she said, look at me. I have on my purple attire. It has great significance there. It has great significance. He knows, Shaitan knows that woman, that virtuous one, that even Pathu's mother, Lemuel's mother said unto him, son, you keep yourself now. Don't give your strength to a woman. Don't give yourself to some religious practice. And she said, now here is a virtuous woman. She identified the purity of the body of Messiah. And that is her garment she's dressed for. Or that is an insignia or a covering of her righteousness. Purple. Purple. And so this whore wants to dress in purple and scarlet. That she forgives sin. And those are the colors of the Roman Catholic whorehouse. And all these wicked men defend her. They all defend her. They all look after her. Because they know that all of their children come from her. They defend her. Even the Southern Baptists won't rail against this Jezebel. They won't talk against her. You got a little small-time preacher like me, whose voice is not going to be heard only unto the house of Yahweh, his remnant. That's all he intended to hear. They were real, but the masses of these whole houses will not speak against her. Used to be a time that the Baptists would even fellowship with the Methodists. Methodists with Baptists. They would not even have what they call interdenomination fellowship. And now they all, because they're of the same Holy Spirit, they walk by the same spirit of whoredom. She maketh a covering of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. Now, that is the virtuous woman. That's her virtuousness, her clothing. It makes a statement. And that's what this Jezebel is trying to do. It says in the Psalms of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 10. I'm going to move quickly. Psalm of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 10. It says that he made the pillars thereof of silver. And the bottoms thereof of gold, the temple of Yahweh, the house, the precious place of Yahweh, where spirit dwells, tells her how he made it, Solomon. And the covering of it of purple. And in the midst thereof being paved with love. It was paved with what? Love. For the daughters of Jerusalem. That's what it's paid with. That's what the house of Yahweh is paid with, this temple, his house, not his temple, but his house, is paved with love. And those are the pure colors of Yahweh. Those are the things that he identified and chalked on for us to take that and use it for his presentation. Those colors are not insignificant. They're very significant because they have great value to the Father. You tell me the color of the blood didn't have great value? When they came out of Egypt and they put the blood on the doorposts, they had great value. They had great value. Now, I want to show you an example of that in Mark, your honor Mark, Mark chapter 15, chapter 17. Look at this now. Look at this wicked world. Look at this religious world now. Mark 15, verse 17. It said, and they clothed him with purple. So they're talking about Messiah. It said they clothed him with purple and they planted crowns of thorns and they put it upon his head. Didn't they do that? Now look what it says down in the next verse now. And when they had mocked him, they mocked him. Say, you're so pure, you're that. When they mocked him, they what? They took what? I'm sorry, verse 20. I will drop down verse 20 in the same chapter. I'm sorry, saints. Verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they what? They took what off? Why didn't they take the crown off? He said they took off what? Took what off? You sure that's what he says? They took off what? They took off the purple from who? Him. And they put his own clothing on him and they led him away to kill him, to crucify him. So don't tell me it has no significance. It has a great value. They knew that he was the perfect seed of Yahweh. They knew he was the pure, the righteous hope of the house of Yahweh. And so they took that garment. Why not leave the garment on him? And put him all up there and mock him on the stake. Why? Why didn't they do that? Because it was a sign and the insignia of the virtuousness of a pure virgin. Of a righteous one that hadn't committed adultery. Hadn't committed fornication and whoredom. That virtuous woman, there were many virtuous daughters, but she excelled them all. She was above them all. And he is above all. He knows what he's doing. It's just that we're just that ignorant. We don't know. Because we play and we play around with flesh, emotions, feelings. We don't have no sincere desire for Yahweh. And that's what he's trying to do. Scripture says in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I want to show you this now. This old righteous, wicked whore. This is what she is. This is her right here. This is this whore. This is how selfish and greedy she is. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. And he fared sumptuously every day. He was rich. He lived good. He lived good. Now I want to show you now. Look at this. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desired to be fed a crumb of bread that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and they licked his sores. Even the dogs had compassion on him. They licked his sores. Now she is arrayed. He is arrayed as though that he is a righteous thing. Purple, fine linen, good heart, sweet. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by Moloch into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and he was buried. That he had all the gain as though he was righteous. And that's what this Jezebel, she's going to die. And she's going to go into the fire of hell. Yahweh's going to pour his vengeance down upon this Jezebel. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. They can say what they want to. Grave shallow in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. She and him afar. So she comes on this scarlet, this purple. Her garments are purple. She rides as though that she's virtuous and she's right. And all of the whore's daughters say the same thing. And that's why you see all these daughters, these whore's house, the men dress alike. They have on their purple shirts and their purple robes. They all dress alike. It's not the sign that they try to take the pure things of Yahweh for their own association. And she's going to be burned into hell. That's why the kings of the earth, they're going to come against her. It says they're going to burn her. And that's why Yahweh's going to burn this Jezebel into hell. Why? She's wicked. She doesn't love truth. She doesn't desire truth. Her seed of those, the seed of this whore has come by her adulteress and whoredom. She has produced sorcerers. And every religious organization today is an organization of sorcery. They're religious perverts that are rebellious. They're walking in witchcraft. They have no love for truth. No whatsoever. They despise any man that tell them their sins, show them their sins and their corrupt ways. They despise any man that does that to them. They want to do their old corrupt, wicked thing. And Yahweh's given them over to the powers of hell. He has opened up the heavens. He has allowed the powers of darkness to come. Now your sons and daughters are doing things they never did. The things that are taking place in us today, they have never been done on the earth. Never. That's why there are going to be trials like never before. That's why he's not going to purge this thing with water. He's got to purge it with fire. He can't clean it no other way. The fire of his anger is going to be poured out. Why? Because of the multitude of the whoredom of this nation. The sons, the daughters, everything is full of whoredom. We that are made free by the truth of his son, we're free indeed. And only when we're going to be free, we must continue in his word. And then only then do we know the truth. And then the truth makes us free. And whom the Son makes free by the power of the Father, they're free indeed. We don't walk under the law of whoredom, spiritual wickedness. He shall show us what's in our own hearts. We may begin to cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves, and make ourselves right. Yeah, you do that. You can cleanse yourself. You can stop your wickedness. You can stop your talk, and you can do things right. That's what a whore does. That's all she does is chit-chat. Spirit of whoredom. Yes, she talks about her idolatry. A virtuous woman, she talks about the things of Yahweh. The things that enable and strengthens. A whore doesn't do that. A spiritual whore doesn't do that. And that's why she seeks after everyone that she can open her legs to. Let me tell you. These whores, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a woman or a man. It makes no difference at all. As long as they're paying. And that's what the spirit is. It makes no difference at all. As long as you're paying. And it's requiring your soul too. That's what she required. I'm going to stop there. May Yahweh give you strength and peace. May his word be an inspiration to your heart. His word is not just going to fall on deaf ear. It's going to bring death to the ear. But it's not going to fall that way. He said his word will not go out and return to him void, but it's going to go out and come to that which he has purpose and intended to do. Whether it's to damn you in hell or to strengthen you. Everyone that is in the house is not going in. And that's the truth. He's going to separate the chaff from the wheat, the tares. He said, don't worry about that. I'll separate. And he's going to do that. And he's doing it now. And I bless him for that. May he give you strength and peace. May your heart be filled with his love and his desire to please, with your desire to please him above all things. We need to understand what he's saying in this hour, what the Father is speaking. We need to know. Our people, they are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. They have no discernment, no understanding. They don't even discern their own hearts, their own ways. You got to put him first. Above all things, you don't put nothing before him. I'm not putting nothing, not wife, not son, not daughter. I don't care what wife say. She will go to hell. You're going to do what he always says. I'm not going to change anything for her. She will die to her wickedness and her sins. I will never let her do that to me. No wife. I won't do it. He said, I'll affect you on things that are above. And I don't think that are sensual. You put your love toward those things that are in the kingdom. And I don't think that are natural. They love the world more than they love Yahweh. They love the natural things. They love the carnal things. They don't love the things of Yahweh. Nobody hardly loves him today. And that's the truth. Don't tell me they do, because there was very little love when Messiah came. There was very little love when Yahweh delivered them out of Egypt. They say they love me with their mouths. And with their tongue, they speak great words. He said, but their hearts are far from me. So your heart is far from his truth. You know when your heart is far from close to his truth. He just said he loved Yahweh and keep not his commandment. He's a liar. You can't deny his truth. And his name is a part of his truth. His name is Yahweh. That is the Father's name. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing that he has made it so simple today that he allowed even natural carnal men to identify what his name is and to show through their great research that he has a name. And yet this rebellious whore doesn't want to say I'm a spouse to him. A woman is not a wife if she doesn't acknowledge her husband. She has to acknowledge her husband man. She must acknowledge her husband man. She must. And so we must acknowledge him as our husband man. He is our husband man. We must acknowledge him. And the scripture tells you the wife to obey your husband in everything. So if he is our husband, man, you think you're going to obey him in something? You are a fool. You're going to have to obey him in everything. I love your wives. Anytime you rebel against what your husband says, you're rebelling. You're walking in the spirit of witchcraft. He's not going to tell you to jump off a building. When he tells you to do something, you rebel against that. You're walking in witchcraft. And brother, anytime you don't love them like Messiah loved the assembly, then you're walking in witchcraft. It's willing to die for. That's what scripture says. You're walking in witchcraft. And that is the truth. You better do what scripture says. Let granny's doctrine go to hell. Grandpappy's too. The doctrines are based upon traditions, not on truth. We got to get back to the old way, the old landmarks. We got to get back to the old brothers when they couldn't read or write, yet they had the anointing. Yo, we put something in their old hearts, even the old Baptist brothers and Methodists. They could preach a fiery message that stir the heart of a drunkard or prostitute. These perverts today don't even stir the heart of little children. And that's the truth. May Yahweh bless you. Pray for me. Pray one for another. Messiah is coming. Good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh. Bless you all today, saints. Be encouraged. Your brother wrote me a letter the other day. I was telling Deacon Ben and the brothers about it. I want Deacon Ben to read the brothers. They can read. He said, you know, Pastor Robert, this truth today, he said, you know, you're not going to be able to preach much like that any longer now, because what they're doing today, these homos and these perverts, you can't say nothing. You can't deal with no kind of sin because it's offensive. That's to the world. And you can't even deal with your sin because you're offensive. You can't say nothing about you. You can't tell you when your youngers are bad. You can't tell you when you're in sin because you're raised up like hell. And everything that happened in the world is because it's a spiritual manifestation of that thing. You can't tell you what's right, what's wrong, because you're raised up with your bully spirit and raised in hell. That's what you do. You just what the spirit, what the scripture says about the assembly of the Laodiceans. You want to rule everything, but you're not going to rule. Yahweh didn't make this thing for you to rule nothing. You need to rule that spirit that rise up in you, and that's what you need to rule. He's the lawgiver. His love and truth came by Messiah. He didn't announce what came by Moshe. So you're not going to rule anything. How do you know? Because you're no more your own. You've been bought with a price, haven't you? So you think he's going to chance that to you? You see all the things you did when you ruled? Whoredom, drugs, adultery, fornication, filthiness, lies, sin, lies, adultery, drinking, drunkenness, gambling. All those things I did. So I know you did them too. When you rule, that's what happened. You're a self-righteous lion, a Jezebel. You're as wicked as hell. True. You did every kind of filthy thing there was to do. When he let you rule, and he took you down to the quick mire of hell, he said, now my kingdom shall rule. You get out of the way. You better kill your flesh. Now I'm going to rule. No more of that. You're not going to do that. No, you can't talk like that. Shut your mouth. He means what he says. He's not going to give you to rule anything. Not even the kingdom. When he gets to the kingdom, he's going to say that I'm in charge. Messiah, he's going to say, Father, here's all. Isn't that somehow they just deny the Father now? He said, here's all, Father. And then even himself, he's going to submit. He's going to become subject unto the Father. That's what scripture said. He's going to submit unto the Father. Well, who are the ones he's going to submit to? God? No, Yahweh. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's saying, these are the laws. You can't even come close to breaking them. And you're not going to do it either. Believe me. You're not going in. He knows you're not going to break them. That's why he has called his election. He has elected. I vote for David. A piece of trash. I know it. I voted for him before I created the world. I knew him. I vote for you. You the one. Yeah. Okay, Randy. Something like that? Yep. That's mine. That's how he does it. Sure he does. You didn't know when you were saved. I know what doctrine has taught us. You didn't know what salvation was. He just saved you. And we heard about this wonderful thing that Messiah had done. It assured us that we were saved. That's what the message does. We've been taught erroneously wrong. And we haven't just, because we haven't the spirit of discernment, we didn't know. Sure we didn't.
Israel did not know the Father in Egypt all those 425 years. They were never sin. But yet he heard their cry by reason of their oppression. And he sent a deliverer to save them. They were worshiping every kind of wicked god there was, because as soon as they got out, they built a calf and they started worshiping their gods. So don't tell me they knew him. And yet they were his. He knew exactly what he was going to say when he got them out there. He killed millions of them out there. The ones that were 19 over, you went into the promised land. He knew exactly what the seed was going to produce, because he down that generation of 10 generations, that was mine. That one. That one. Shadrach. That, yeah, that one. He knew exactly what he was going to say. He knew exactly what he was going to say. Isn't that so? Because when they, the men of Babylon, when they captured the Hebrew boys, they changed their names, didn't they? Huh? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Changed their name from the Hebrew name to Babylonian names. May Yahweh bless you. Let us stand to our feet. You don't change the Father's name. He has a name. Yahweh bless you. Our Father bless you for all things. Go with your people, I pray. Give us rest today and peace in Messiah's name. Bless them all, I pray, in your sure's name. Hallelujah. Yahweh bless you.